Old man have been taken to hospital for treatment. As the UN climate conference continues for a third day in Dubai, more global leaders have made historic pledges for climate finance. US Vice President Kamala Harris addressed the assembly this morning, stepping up America's commitment with another $3 billion to the Green Climate Fund. Ms. Harris told those gathered at COP28 there are still many obstacles to overcome.
Leaders who deny climate science, delay climate action, and spread misinformation. Corporations that greenwash in the face of their resistance and in the context of this moment, we must do more.
Israel's renewed bombardment of Gaza is continuing following the end of the seven-day ceasefire, with the military warning civilians in some areas to evacuate. The Hamas-run health ministry says at least 200 people have been killed since the bombing started again yesterday. We're being warned the UK faces a public health crisis over synthetic opioids. Drug campaigners say dealers here are mixing their supplies with synthetics following a crackdown on heroin production in Afghanistan. The result is a drug which can be up to 300 times stronger than heroin. Rory, who uses crack cocaine, says the consequences are serious.
These people are in it for money, are they not? And the purer it is, the less money they make. So obviously they're putting stuff in with it. I'm seeing people coughing up blood. I'm seeing people dying.
Flights have resumed at Glasgow Airport after its runway was reopened following heavy snowfall. Fresh weather warnings for snow and ice have been issued for large parts of the UK. And 46 men have been charged after violence broke out before an Aston Villa game against Legia Warsaw. All except one are due to appear before a special court set up at Birmingham magistrates. That's the latest. I'm Faye Rowlands.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon, how are you? Welcome to this cold Saturday. This is the Weekend Wind-Up on Phoenix 98 FM.
Somebody's full of hate. His faith is all about a certain. Too busy thinking about the pain. Too bother checking why it's hurting.
Choose a less thought try. Spend some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Boy, you can keep it.
Good afternoon, as I said. Welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you? Hope you're well. Apologies, I've got a frog in my throat. What a cold, wintry day. We love it, don't we? So happy December, people. It's feeling wintry. It's feeling a little bit Christmassy, isn't it? Hope you're well anyway, and hope you had a great week. Looking forward to being with you now until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Got some great music for you. Got a really kind of chilled cover for another today. Danny's Choice is a bit of a classic. Take Five and all your messages. So you can email me, as you know. I shouldn't have to repeat it, you know it by now. But please email me if you want to. radio@phoenixfm.com. Find me on social media and we can wind up. It'd be good to have your company. Good to hear from you. Tell me what you're up to, whether you're Christmas shopping today, whether you've done it all, whether you're not even thinking about it. Whether you're just trying to find a bit of peace, like most of us, eh? And I hope you've had a great week. And you're staying well and healthy. I'm coming to the studio today, all decorated. It's looking rather festive, if I do say so. Whoever's done it, if you're listening out there, guys, at the station, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Now, we're talking to Christmas music. You can't get much more Christmassy than this next track. This is brand new, added to our A-list. I don't know if you saw it last night. She was on Graham Norton last night. But my God, this is a Christmas song. This is the new one from Cher called DJ. Please play a Christmas song.
No one on the streets and the city is quiet. I should be asleep by the heat of the fire. But I'm on my way out. I'm gonna stay out. I can feel the pulse as I walk in the door. Take me through the crowd to the middle of the floor. The red and the green lights are hitting me just right. Nothing more, nothing less. I got one request. DJ, play a Christmas song.
Yeah. need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Your local hospice needs your support this festive season, and there are so many ways that you can make a difference. Purchase your Secret Santa and stocking filler gifts at any St. Francis Hospice store. Host a jumpers or gym jams day at work, or support the Christmas tree recycling service. The team at St. Francis Hospice will pick up and recycle your real Christmas tree for a donation with a brand new sponsor, the Sharp Group. So support your local hospice this Christmas.
across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Now, I want to remind you there's an event coming up this evening you might want to pop along to if you fancy feeling starting your Christmas experience, feeling a bit festive-y. There is an evening of Christmas music and carols at Hutton and Shenfield Union Church in Shenfield. And the Brentwood Choral Society are presenting their annual Christmas event, and they're going to be joined by the Bluebirds Children Choir and the BCS Ensemble. The conductor is Art Wangarushanab, and the accompanist is Dominic Bentham, and the event starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are only £12, and for under-12s, it's only £6 as well. It includes refreshments and your programme, so that's at Hutton and Shenfield Union Church this evening at 7 p.m. And if you want more information, you just go to brentwoodchoralsociety.org.uk. So pop along. If you're feeling a bit festive, why not? They'd love to see you there. This is the brand new one from Dua Lipa. I love this. This is stunning. This is Houdini.
FM travel news.
Okay, first travel update of the day from me today, and the roads actually, they're quite busy, obviously, with Christmas shopping, but no major reported problems at the moment, so all major roads like the M25, A12, 127, etc., all looking okay. Now, there are temporary traffic lights in place at various points around the borough, so I won't go into all of those, but be mindful of that. Areas like the B186 going into Ockenham, the A128, etc., so just be mindful of that. But as I say, at the moment, fingers crossed, there are no reported problems and traffic seems to be moving okay, just a bit heavier as expected. Now, public transport, that's a different story because, as we know, there is industrial action taking place as of today for a whole week. So Services are affected at various points, so we suggest you do check with your travel providers if you are thinking of using the services. So I know C2C services are disrupted all week, with one day this week, I think it's Tuesday, no services at all on C2C on Tuesday. But other days, there are limited services as well. So do please go to C2C and check them out direct at their website. Greater Anglia as well is affected at some point this week. Now, London Underground today, there are severe delays on the Central Line and the District Line, and there are minor delays on the Metropolitan Line, with a planned closure on the Waterloo and City Line. The Victoria Line is currently suspended at the moment. So services, all other lines are running okay, but the Tube is affected as well. So do check that out. Docklands Light Railway running okay at the moment, and no major problems reported anywhere else. But as I said, do check out those travel providers before heading out so you're not caught out. This is the new one from the Rolling Stones, still sounding great. This is Mess It Up.
Come on!
Hello, this is Andy Bath from Erasure. You're listening to Phoenix FM.
Here you go, Erasure there. Lovely to hear that again. Now, we've got some guests coming up in the studio over the weekend and next week, and I'm sure you'd love to listen to them. Got some great people coming in. So tomorrow on Stepping Out, Nige is going to be chatting to Rob Hissey and Ted Lawler about the Manifestation app, which is an app designed to aid mental health. And then on Wednesday, the 6th of December, on Eat My Brunch, Michelle's going to be chatting to singer-songwriter George Bone. He's returning to the studio. And he's playing live as well. And also on that same day, on the 1-2-3 show, on that show, Bob's going to be chatting to local resident Daphne Norris about her life and times and Christmases past in Brentwood and Billericay from the 1930s and to the present. So it's going to be a fascinating tale there. So make sure you tune in. But if you want to go on to our website, as I've told you many times, which is www.phoenixfm.com, go on there, you can check the schedule, see who's coming in. We've always got some great guests coming in across all of the shows, so we'd love to have your company. This is the Spice Girls, Wasting My Time, an album track from early 2000. We love this.
Fell into a bucket of cream. Here's two guys that fell into a radio station to talk about movies on Phoenix FM.
So I'm delighted to say we're joined once again by Mark Searby. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Spencer. I'm well, apart from obviously it being bitterly cold here.
Yeah, it's taking a turn, isn't it?
It has, but, you know, we've got to remember we're in December now.
Yeah, and you have to remember, it was literally about 8 or 9 weeks ago everyone was moaning how hot it was and we couldn't cope, so there we go.
That's very true.
It's the British thing for you, it really is. Right, what delights have we got today?
Well, we're in December now, Spencer, this is the thing, so you know what
it's
that
Christmas
means?
It's Christmas time.
It absolutely is, so full of Christmas festive spirit. The first movie we've got for review is Candy Cane Lane, which is about a man who is determined to win the neighborhood's annual Christmas decorating contest. He makes a pact with an elf to help him win, but the elf casts a spell that brings the 12 days of Christmas to life, which brings chaos to the town. Now, you had said to me off air just then, Spencer, that this you've been seeing adverts for this absolutely everywhere. And it's true. It's been advertised everywhere, hasn't it?
It has been, yeah. Literally, the past 2 days, I've just seen it advertised everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the thing for that is because it's Eddie Murphy. And, you know, Eddie Murphy movie, it's going to be advertised everywhere. It's a big deal. It's his first Christmas movie as well. He's also re-teaming with his Boomerang director, Reginald Hudlin, for this festive flick. So I was really hoping for some great laughs. But I came away a little bit disappointed on that level. I mean, don't get me wrong. When Eddie Murphy's doing his shtick, he's really funny. And there's some really funny moments in this film. But I just couldn't get away from the fact that this film should have been funnier. I think it lacks an extra bit of zip to it all. And I think that's more down to the writing than anything else, because that lacks some real pizzazz and the actual humour as well. There's so many moments in this film that could have been laugh out loud funny, but the film's writing seems to miss a lot of those key elements to it. I just genuinely wish this film was funnier. And the thing is, when Eddie Murphy is funny, and he is in this movie,
he's unbeatable when he's really funny, yeah.
Exactly. And it just goes to show how he can elevate pretty average material to make it funny. Like, he makes it look effortless. He makes it look so easy, and he makes it funny as well. But this film doesn't give Eddie Murphy enough to do. He's the central character. He's the guy who's wanting to win this Christmas decorating contest. But I'm just sat there thinking, go on, give him some more. Let him get his teeth into it. We know he can do it. We know he can. It just doesn't happen, which is a shame. It's such
a
shame.
If you look at films like The Nutty Professor, for example, the remake with him, and The Clumps and things like that, that without him, they wouldn't have been half as funny.
Well, this is very true. Do you know what? You're absolutely right. This is the thing, is that he does elevate the material. But with this, I'm just thinking, we just need a bit more.
So is this pitched as a comedy, or is it pitched as a heartwarming Christmas film?
Well, it's a bit of both, really, Spencer. You know, you come at it as it's a comedy, but also it's a bit of a heartwarming Christmas movie. I mean, the story itself, right, which is the 12 tasks of Christmas, is the way I'm going to call it, basically, because Eddie Murphy's character, Chris Carver, make a note of the name, makes a pact with an elf who's played brilliantly and very devilishly by the wonderful Gillian Bell, who I think is very funny. I think she's great. And then what happens is the characters from the 12 Days of Christmas come alive, and it's up to Chris and his daughter to try and grab the rings from them and get them back on this giant Christmas tree that Chris has bought for his driveway. Basically, it's, you know, I'm simplifying it here. It gets needlessly complicated at times, and it gets a bit flabby with subplots as well. There's one about the son playing the tuba, and there's one about the eldest daughter wanting to go to a different university than what her parents did as well. But there's one too many storylines going on, and in the final third, I think it overwhelms everything. I think it's trying to do too many things with too many characters, when really it should just focus on the father and daughter adventure story, because that's really enjoyable. It's rather fun. I enjoyed that all the way through it, but needless things coming in and out, and they sort of take away focus from it. So, you know, is this the best Christmas movie? No, absolutely not. It's far from it. It's far from it. Is it an enjoyable Christmas movie? Yes, because of Eddie Murphy. He raises this film. I think he makes the entire film, and really, I don't think he gets out of second gear at all. But then that's Eddie Murphy. You know, he's going to make you laugh. He's going to make you laugh, even in second gear. He will keep you watching this movie. So it's a middling movie. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's a middling movie. But it's a, you know, look, it's a quite entertaining Christmas movie.
It's like a lot of Christmas movies. I mean, let's be honest, with many of them, not all of them, before anyone writes in, but for many of them, that take away the Christmas element and the time of year they're on, they are poor films. Really?
Yes.
They are. They are. I mean, you know, I'm watching one of the streaming channels at the moment that are back-to-back Christmas movies, and it's just on in the background. And as I think I said last week, it has the same cast in all of them, the same story. They just change the nuance slightly, and it is just beyond dreadful. But people love them.
Yeah.
People love them. That's what they do.
This is the thing. Look, Christmas movies are a massive industry. They make so much money, whether it is heartwarming movies like this or whether it is horror movies, which we're going to come to in a minute. There's a huge, huge audience for it. So you can see why they churn out more. By the way, I've just got to correct myself here, Spencer, actually. I said it right at the start. This is Eddie Murphy's first Christmas movie. It's not.
What did he do before?
Trading Places.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Exactly.
Like one of the best films of all time, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course he did.
This is the thing.
I'd completely forgotten that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to correct myself there. So Eddie Murphy's second Christmas movie with Candy Cane Lane. It's streaming on Prime Video now. I think it's also in select cinemas as well, possibly, but it's definitely on Prime Video now.
In a bizarre way, Trading Places, you know, people will be up in arms about this, but I don't think of it as a Christmas film, even though it's
agreed.
It's weird. It's just a brilliant film.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm the same with you. And that goes back to what you were just saying, is that, you know, take the Christmas out of it, it's still a brilliant movie. Take Christmas out of something else, it's a poor movie. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But Trading Places, take the Christmas out of it, it's still a brilliant movie.
Yeah. Well, that's one for the list, and it sounds, people are going to watch it, aren't they, at this
yeah,
time of
absolutely.
Year? They're going to watch it, so brilliant. Right, what's up next?
As I said, you know what's popular at Christmas? Horror movies.
Yes, of course.
So, on DVD and Blu-ray now, and it's also on digital platforms as well, The Mean One. And this is set in a sleepy mountain town where Cindy's parents are murdered and her Christmas is stolen by a bloodthirsty green figure in a red Santa suit. Okay.
Is it a spoof or?
Well, okay, before I get to that, it's not a spoof, actually, Spencer. No, this is an actual horror movie. You might not remember us doing this review. I can't remember if I did this with you or not, but earlier this year we had a Winnie the Pooh horror movie. Do you remember this?
We did, because I'd watched it just before we chatted. And right. When you told, it was us that did it.
Okay, right.
And because I think I remember some of it was filmed with people from the Essex area, and it was filmed... yes, I do know the film you mean, yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so...
It was great, wasn't it?
Moving quickly on, Spencer, from that question. So we've had this Winnie the Pooh horror movie, and it did big business in certain countries, not the UK. But this has now become a growth industry where horror filmmakers have taken beloved characters and have put them into horror movies, basically. So now we have a horror film unofficially based on Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And I guess on some level, I'm not surprised. Well, I am surprised we've not had this before. Because twisting the Grinch story into a horror film isn't that far away from the original work anyway.
No, they're borderline, aren't they? Quite disturbing anyway when you look at them.
They are. Yeah. The Jim Carrey movie, I think, is quite disturbing for kids. I mean, I think it's brilliant myself, but I think it's quite disturbing. Still fantastic. So I guess this film, in whatever form, was always going to happen at some point. Now we have it, and I can honestly say I've never been so bored in my life.
At all.
It's utterly, utterly boring. The whole setup with Cindy You-Know-Who, nice pun on the original name there, returning to the town decades later after she survived this massacre as a kid. It's just so stupid. You know, it's the type of cliched horror storylines that just need to die immediately and never come back in movies ever again. It's hideously outdated, and once again, it's utterly boring.
Sorry, I've just got the pun on the name. I've just got it. My mind was racing.
You see? Exactly, yes.
Took a while to get there. I got there in the end.
As I said, it's a good pun. Once you hear it once, that's it. That's it. You're done, you know. The film then has Cindy being the only one who believes that it's this green figure who did the killings, and the rest of the town all look at her like she's mad. It is, once again, a tired horror film cliche and the tropes, and then just boring. Oh, how many times have we got to see the fact that this is the person, why don't you believe her, blah, 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 and just boring. It doesn't help either, Spencer, that the acting is hideous. Atrociously bad. Every person acting in this seems to think they're the main character when they're not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's...
We've all seen films like that, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. So there's some really bad overacting.
Clamoring for screen time, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, you're completely right on that one. Yeah, there's some real overacting here. There's some real underacting as well. Some I don't think are acting at all, and yet are still really annoying. And worst of all is the film mainly follows all these locals. So we have to watch as they all go talking and talking and talking and talking. And we get needless amounts of dialogue in a horror film. It's a horror movie. We want the horror. We want the blood.
You want the scares. You want the blood. You want the jumps. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the thing. But then here's the thing. You know, you mentioned blood there. there's a distinct lack of blood and gore in this movie, even though it's a horror film. And I'm just like, what's going on? Like, and when it does occasionally happen, the film is so dark, you can't actually see anything. It's a horror movie without anything that actually makes it a horror film, truth be told. I'm just kind of like, well, what's the point? We can't see anything. We can hear it, but, well, you know, who cares? You know, that's the thing. The sad fact about this movie is that the mean one character is actually quite entertaining in this. He can't speak. And I suspect that's because of possible lawsuits from Dr. Seuss's estate. So they've given him this, like, guttural growl. And it's pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. You know, if this film knew how to effectively use the mean one in the whole story, then it would have been half entertaining film. Instead, it's a movie that just bored the pants off me. Bored. Spencer, bored. Bored, bored, bored. Utterly boring.
Are the cast, are they unknowns? Are they a new cast? Is the director relatively fresh? Or?
So the only person I know in this is the guy who plays the mean one, and that's because he played the clown in Terrifier and Terrifier 2, which were very popular horror movies this past year and the year before as well. He's the only person I know. It's a cast of unknowns. It's very low budget as well. Well, I say low budget, you know, it's not that low budget. As I said, you know, there's some... Some of it looks quite good, but yeah, it's unknowns. But with horror movies, you don't need known actors. We've seen, you know, the better horror movies actually don't have actors in it, or people you know anyway. But this one, it was just boring, really boring.
That's going to be one I swerve then. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Well, forewarned is forearmed, whatever they say. Thank you very much. So, thank you very much for today. As you said, we are heading into December. We're thick in December now. And so I presume that means more Christmas films coming our way next week, does it?
No, it doesn't. We're done.
Get
with
out the trumpets.
That's it. No, we're done with Christmas movies now. And so next week, we will be reviewing Wonka, which is the prequel to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Now, this is...
fascinating to me. Fascinating.
So, yes. Starring Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka, young Willy Wonka, Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa, and this is written by the team behind the Paddington movies and also the director of the Paddington movies.
Oh, it's going to be glorious, I think.
I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited based on the Paddington's angle of it, basically. So we're going to review Wonka. We're also going to review one of the movies that's being talked about as an awards contender, which is May December, which is Natalie Portman facing off against Julianne Moore in a real family drama. And then if you subscribe to the podcast, we're going to review A Haunting in Venice, which is Kenneth Branagh's third go at playing Hercule Poirot in another movie on Agatha Christie's books.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Yes, yes.
Much to look forward to. So thank you very much for this week. Appreciate it.
A pleasure.
And I will speak to you next week.
Will do.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Take you past the side.